Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza.
That's a good deal, man.
It is. In this economy, that's a fantastic deal.
Yeah. I mean, especially when the weather's nice like this, like a nice beer with nice cold brew. It's nice.
Nothing beats it. Boston Pizza, our friends at Boston Pizza. Our one sponsor here on Canucks Central. A lot to get into. Not the sunburn I developed yesterday at Nicholas North.
Nice farmer's tan, Reach.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, actually. Like the amount. Oh, it's so bad on screen.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
You forget to reapply sunscreen in the afternoon, and it's a bad deal. I need tips from Elon, who's the UV expert here at Sportsnet 650.
Yeah, he just absorbs the UVs. just eats them.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where like the forehead is a different shade than the below the eyes as well.
Yeah.
Never hurts. But the Vancouver Golf Tour's BC Women's Open is ongoing up at Nicholas North. A fantastic event yesterday. Let's get to the Open. We got lots of Canucks news today.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Yeah, it's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks have filled out their coaching staff. Kevin Dean, which was reported earlier this week, now official, and the rest of the staff looks like this. Brett McLean, who was the head coach of the Iowa Wild this most recent year, and Scott Young, who was in a development role with the Vancouver Canucks, will now join Adam Foote's staff. Jason Krogh remains the skills coach with the team. The Sedins will remain on staff in a development role as well for the Vancouver Canucks. Yogi Svejkovsky and Sergei Gonchar are on the way out, as we've seemed to already know, given some of the things that had been said. But Adam Foote gets his coaching staff done and dusted, and there is not one game of NHL head coaching experience on this bench going into next year.
No, and listening to Adam Foote, it was something they were trying to do. Like, he mentioned how they spoke to Dave Quinn, Joe Sacco, and they ended up having other opportunities that they went to, so they didn't come. But it was interesting how open he was about the process. It was pretty transparent how they went through and how they landed on the guys they currently got and the individuals that they did speak to but weren't able to get over here. So he was trying to get somebody with NHL experience, but they felt like after not getting the guys they wanted, that these individuals were the best for the job, so to speak.
So it is interesting. He was open with his discussion and with his reasoning as to why the Canucks went about filling out their staff this way. And he was at a Jays game, so maybe the informal environment was helpful and conducive to having an open and honest Adam Foote.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just a very informal environment. Not like the buttoned up. I'm in front of the big screen in the background with all the Canucks logos, and you got the media just sitting there bearing down on you, waiting for the answers.
You know what I mean? As in like us going to a Jays game, like we have a couple of brews.
I didn't say anything of this. I just said it's an informal environment. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I just wanted to make sure he was pretty loose. I don't know if you want to want to make sure what you're getting at here.
It was an informal environment. So this ipso facto, he was very open with how he discussed filling out his coaching staff. He mentioned, as we kind of already knew, Kevin Dean would be handling the defense and the PK, and they would work together in tandem on the penalty kill, given he had such a big part in the Canucks developing into a top 10 penalty kill last year, one of the best in the league towards the end of the season. And Brett McLean will run the power play. I know a lot of takes coming through on the Twitterverse about Brett McLean and the Iowa Wild having the worst power play in the AHL this year, and now he will be coaching the NHL team and developing the Canucks power play unit. I don't think it's fair to draw a direct line or correlation to the lack of success the Iowa Wild had on the penalty kill last year and say, well, the Canucks power play is doomed for next season. It's especially in the AHL, it can be a personnel thing. And Travis Boyd was the Iowa Wild's top scorer this year. So just keep that in mind when citing those numbers from the AHL.
Ultimately, you never know with these guys until they get an opportunity and until they do something with it. Now, he's been an assistant coach in the NHL in the past, having been with the Minnesota Wild organization for a long time. You know, people talk about how, you know, he's got good character, and there are people that talk about his intelligence and some ideas that he has. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And it's funny because we talk about giving new people a chance.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing here to some degree, right? And a guy like Dean has been around for a long time, and he has been a good defensive coach, and he was sought after as well. So the Canucks were able to land him to some regard. But I can understand the cynicism. People look at the staff. It is inexperienced, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't look to be the most expensive staff, and people are maybe skeptical about where this is going, right? And ultimately, it comes down to, are you good at the job or not?
Yeah.
You know? And the Scott Young one is the one that some people point to, and they're like, well, all you're doing is shifting somebody from one role to another. You're just shuffling the guy around, right?
Yeah.
So you're not even hiring somebody new, really, right? Like, he's already part of the organization. But it was interesting listening to Foot and also talking to some people with the team that they have a real plan for having Scott Young involved, like that they have a specific role for him. And Foot also mentioned that he wanted to get into coaching.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in Vancouver, it could have been somewhere else. So for them to retain him, this was something that they needed to do, because otherwise he could have gone and joined somebody else's staff potentially, or that was a possibility. You mentioned if Quinn got a head coaching job somewhere. So I think the Scott Young one's really fascinating, because if you talk to people outside of Vancouver, there are people that really are high on him and how they view him and his eye for talent, his ability to work with people and how good he is with communication. So I think they have a real plan for him. So I don't think it's one of those where, hey, let's just grab this guy because he's part of the organization already. Mm-hmm. There seems to be merit behind it. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it works out. Obviously, it's not the most star-studded coaching staff, right? It is short on experience. It's short on big investment. But that doesn't mean it can't work. It comes down to, can these guys excel at their positions?
When Scott Young was originally hired for his development role, he was seen as a really good get by the Vancouver Canucks. So now he's starting to transition, or hoping to transition more into a coaching role, and he's getting that opportunity in Vancouver with the Canucks. Now, that's what's going on with the Canucks coaching staff. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. If you want to get in on the discussion, you can there. But the rumor mill never stops a turning in Vancouver, and certainly not during silly season, Sat. And oh boy, the rumor mill is good today. And I don't know if we should start with the lack of promotional material around Thatcher Demko and Elias Pettersson, or that plugged-in Wild reporter and currently covering the Stanley Cup Final for The Athletic, Mike Russo, saying that the Canucks are one of the teams very much in on Marco Rossi.
The Rossi one is interesting, right? Because it's a credible, specific report that the Canucks have interest. And I'm not saying the Canucks don't have interest. I'm still skeptical about how intense that interest is. You know what I mean? And we'll see ultimately how that goes. Like, I think the idea of what they want for the center they're looking for may not fit the bill, but at the same time, Rossi's very talented, right? And if you're looking to make a bet on somebody, and if the cost isn't going to be sky high, well, it's going to cost a first round pick at the very least, but if it's not going to be a ridiculous price, is it just too good of an opportunity to pass up? Would they view it as that potentially? I can't put that past them, but I'll still believe it when I see it. If the trade they make is for a guy who's 5'9", I think they still look at size.
Oh,
as
why
being
do you
something.
Always got to make it about
I'm
the
not,
size?
Because they do reach. They look.
The guy scored 60 points. He's got back-to-back 20-goal seasons, and he's 23 years old. He fits the timeline of the Canucks. What more do you want?
I'll throw you another bone. I did some more digging on Marco Rossi. Okay, so I talked to some people and some people that around the league who have watched him closely and seen him come through. And not only do they like the talent, and yeah, there's obviously things that, you know, he's not going to have as strengths because I won't say it. Yeah. But, you know, there's certain things that won't be strengths.
All right.
I'll be diplomatic about it. Right? Yeah. But his work ethic and how driven he is and how talented he is as an individual, like all those things are really positives that people like, a lot of people repeat about him, like their character strengths that if he goes somewhere else, especially with the motivation, they can see him pop off and be really good. So there are a lot of positives about him. And I actually went back and watched some of his games just to be like, hey, am I being too harsh about the size thing and being skeptical about it? And he does play hard, right? Like yeah. For a small player, he's physical. It goes in the corners.
He doesn't play small. He's not a perimeter player.
He doesn't. So there are a lot of positives about him, right? And because of all that, if the Canucks can't find the perfect answer, maybe they look at it and say, okay, this is the best option we have available to us.
Yeah. That, and that's where I've been on this, right? It's just like you look at the other options that are out there and there isn't many perfect options. And Marco Rossi fits the bill of younger player that still has some untapped potential, right? Is still just 23. Yeah. I think my biggest concern is like what you're going to have to pay him, like the 7x7.
Yeah.
Now that's like it's not... you know, if he develops even more, like, and he does tap into some of that currently untapped potential, then you're not so worried about paying him $7 million a year for whomever might give him that, should he get that kind of a contract with whatever team he ends up on. But, you know, it is still a big ticket to pay, and it limits your buying power elsewhere if you are the Vancouver Canucks specifically.
Yeah, so it may not be option one. Mm-hmm. But I would be shocked if the Canucks had not expressed some level of interest. Again, the Canucks are very proactive, and any player who's available of any stat of any significant stature, even if it's not a perfect fit, they will do their due diligence because maybe there's something that works, right? Or at the very least, you can find out information. And I think for the Canucks who are trying to get other players too, maybe it's not bad to be involved in different things. So you're not just seen as having one option, having tunnel vision, so to speak. So I don't doubt that they've expressed interest and had discussions. I don't know how far that's gotten quite yet. You know what I mean? That's what I would say about the Rossi thing.
The other reason I like it, at least from a theory perspective, I don't believe it's going to cost a ton. It's going to cost you, but I don't think the acquisition cost is that expensive. I mean, unless you consider the 15th overall pick to be super expensive, maybe that's a part of what it takes. Maybe that's the only thing you have to give up to get Marco Rossi, or maybe it's a bit of a package. But if you're giving up 15th overall, I don't think you're giving up one of your top prospects on top of 15 overall to get Marco Rossi.
The Canucks wouldn't do that. Yeah. I'm sure that's what Minnesota would ask for. I'm pretty sure Minnesota's ask is first round pick one of your top prospects. I think the first round pick and maybe a B prospect probably gets it done. Now, to your point, depends on the level of interest. Maybe it could be lesser prospect, right? Yeah. But maybe if it's more, it all depends. But you're right. This is not a deal that should involve DPD, Vilander, or Lekromaki.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I potentially like about this. Now, Canucks aren't going to be the only team in on Marco Rossi. Again, 23-year-old center who scored 60 points this year, back-to-back 20-goal seasons, was a former 10th overall pick. There's going to be somebody else, and other teams have reported interest. So, you know, you don't want to get into a bidding war for Marco Rossi. I can see, from a trade perspective, I can see that
you
being
get the
something.
You want to get it when it's value.
Yes. I could see where that might end up being the point you jump off the Marco Rossi train. But, I do like hearing that the Canucks are potentially in on one Marco Rossi.
So the Demko's name has also been, you know, bandied about quite a bit. Yeah. He's been making a lot of lists, right?
And he wasn't on the promotional material as well.
All right. So
that's all that matters, Seth.
He was right. Missing from the promotional material. So was Elias Pettersson. How do you not have your $11.6 million player on the promotional material?
Okay, I will be shocked, Reach, that the next time the Canucks have a promotional thing going out on any platform that it does not include Pettersson or Demko. I think they may make a point of having only Pettersson and Demko.
Just them.
Just those two. So I think you're going to see them again on promotional material, right?
You know, if anything, this is a sign that the Canucks maybe not the most in tune with their fan base.
I don't think this
would fly under the radar somehow.
I don't want to do this because I don't want to get into it because I don't want to be, you know, be like, you know, just like carrying water or whatever. Yes. But like, anyways, I'll leave it at this. I'll leave it at this. That you'll see Pettersson and Demko again on promotional material, right?
I'm just saying, however it happened optically, I can understand why people are looking at it.
Sure.
They're like side-eyeing it. Like,
what's going on? What's going on? I know it's been brought about and talked about and all that. Sure, right? I don't think they want to trade Demko, though.
Mm.
Like, number one, we even heard Rutherford and the management say they want to keep Demko. Demko said he wants to stay, so it's like Captain Obvious, right? Like, I'm not telling
that
anybody.
That has been their public footing so far on this.
But very much when you ask privately and, you know, when, because like, I've seen Demko's name out there, right? You see on lists and rumors, and that's not to say, again, that the Canucks aren't taking calls and listening. We know that, again, they're a very active front office. They always talk about players. They won't just hang the phone up if you call them about anyone, any player.
Yeah.
They'll listen at the very least. And maybe politely at the end laugh or something or like hang up, but like they'll listen to what you have to say, right? So I think when you do that, you're always going to be involved in things, so to speak, and names will come out. But I don't think they want to move Demko. I think the priority for Demko is to sign him.
Right.
Can you figure out a contract? And we've been over this many times. I'm sure the team wants to keep it shorter term, 2-3 years. Demko probably wants 4-5 years. Can you get somewhere where that works? But I think that's going to be the big thing. But even let's say they don't agree to a contract. The other big thing for them is, as much as they're trying to get a center and trying to improve the forward group, I think we all realize they're not going to solve the top six entirely in one offseason.
Yeah, you need multiple players in the top six. That is hard to
become a contender, right? Yeah. To really contend.
With their cap space and lack of trade assets, it's hard to do that in one offseason.
And if you have an injury or two, even making the playoffs might be tough because we see what happens with a team that doesn't have offense, losing a key offensive player or two, right? Or if, let's say, Pettersson doesn't quite rebound the way you want him to rebound, right? They think they have a real advantage and goal with Demko and with Lankinen for next season.
Yeah.
And because they're going to be at least somewhat short up front, I don't think they feel like they can afford to be short in goaltending as well and just go full in on Lankinen and somebody else.
Yeah.
I think they value that Demko can be also an elite level performer. And I think they would love to get a player signed long term if they could, or at least to some level of term. Besser's probably not coming back, right? Suter, we don't know what's going on with his situation. They traded JT Miller. People are wondering about Quinn Hughes. I think it would be seen as a real positive for them if they can get Demko done. Now, can you agree to the money? That's going to be the big thing. But I'm not convinced that it's a priority for them to move Demko at this point in time.
It makes sense, right? Because this team, as you mentioned, like, think about it from, okay, how are we going to have successes here? We're good in goal. We have pretty good defense. If our structure is good, yeah, we might struggle on offense, but at least we can keep games close and try to manage our way to a wild card type of performance and hope that some of our internal options have better years offensively. And that's how you carve your pathway back to the postseason next year if you're the Vancouver Canucks. But if you lose Demko and then you put the fate of the season on the shoulders of Kevin Lankinen again, I mean, now you're asking a lot and you're tightening or lessening your pathways back to the postseason.
It would have to be a heck of a player you're getting. Like, if you're trading Demko, I think for them it would have to be a real needle moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And is anybody actually moving a needle moving forward for a goalie on an expiring contract with injury history?
No.
I'm not convinced, right?
I'm not convinced either.
And let's say, for instance, and this is not happening because goaltending is, well, I mean, he didn't have the best playoff, but they have their goaltending signed long-term, Aiden Hill and all that with Vegas. But would you do Barbashev for Demko? Probably not. Like, as much as I like Barbashev, like, he's a nice complimentary player.
Yeah.
But he's not going to run a line by himself.
No.
Who has more value to your team next year, Barbashev or Demko?
Demko.
Right. Now, could somebody offer you that type of player? Maybe. But I'm not sure that's worth it for where you're at.
If you have Demko on your roster, you have at least the potential of a star player. Again, it's similar to the Pettersson conversation where it's like,
are you getting something like that in return that approximates that? And if you do, okay, maybe they'll do it. But I just don't see that being realistic given his situation.
And even a late first, let's say it's in this draft, you know, the late first in this draft doesn't seem to have that great of a value anyways. If you would look to flip that, teams are going to be cautious about giving up their first for the 2026 draft, given it is seen to be one of the better drafts in recent years. So hard to move Demko, and as Sat mentions, don't read too much into the promotional material.
Hey, listen, we know that Pettersson might get traded. And again, yes. I don't think that was any, there was no intention behind it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
You can make of that what you will, but I don't think there's any intention behind it.
Fair enough. All right, to the playoff central roundup. Oilers won game one in the Stanley Cup final, and they win it in overtime. Coming back from 3-1 down, being the first team to come back on the Panthers after they held a two-period lead going into the third of a playoff game for the first time in a couple of years. It was an exciting game. I continue to marvel at just how good Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are.
They're unreal.
Yeah.
A little bit of space and time, they'll make it happen. And it was a fantastic hockey game. And yeah. I'm not going to be like, hey, it's over, Edmonton's going to win it. But I felt like for them, especially a team that lost a prior year, went down 0-3, like these are really important moments, right? Yeah. And for you to win that first game, given how that game unfolded, that's like the perfect first game for Edmonton.
You just see them like smelling blood, you know, like sharks in the water. As soon as that puck went over the glass, it's like, we got our opportunity.
Yeah.
This is our chance, boys. I don't know why they went full Brooklyn on that, but that's...
That's what Reach does.
It just kind of like, happened. Like, I was coming like up Sats like, Australian. I don't know.
Well, yesterday I did like two random things because of you weren't
you
here.
You needed to fill the void with me on the golf course.
Yeah, okay. I said something about I messed up on Boston and London. London and Boston. And it wasn't even like proper accent.
Central was brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Okay. I don't even know why.
Boston.
Yeah. It doesn't even make sense.
My Boston Pizza.
Yeah. It wasn't even a proper accent.
So. The Abbotsford Canucks take a 3-1 series. They're one game away from the Calder Cup final where the Charlotte Checkers are awaiting after they swept Laval. Danila Klimovic scoring the OT winner gets back into the lineup after Jonathan Lekkerimäki was healthy scratched to make room for Klim in the lineup, and he scores an unbelievable goal in the overtime period.
Yeah, and I mean, he's also been a player who's had his ups and downs, but you see moments where he does thrilling things, and he's had a lot of these great moments.
Yeah.
It's just been the consistency in doing those things, right? But the tools are tantalizing at times.
It's the problem is, like, we are so removed from his draft year, and like, this is still the conversation, right? Yeah. Like, we knew he was a raw player when he was drafted. You still see the shot, you still see some of the offensive talent, you're like, ooh, that's interesting. And then, you know, his off puck play just hasn't developed well enough. So there was a great moment during the Zoom today with Adam Foote. Now, a couple of great moments, but one that involved the 650 employee.
A 650 employee.
Yeah.
Lone 650 employee on the Zoom call.
Yeah. He's doing his job.
And he's trying to represent the station, right? Yeah. Like he's trying to be the one guy, a hero, because like, you know, Batch's. I'm not trying to say anything bad, but like Batch is doing Batch things, right? Like he's a dad, like he's away,
yeah,
doing Batch, you know, Batch dad things, and like, you know, Josh is doing his own show with Lena,
yeah,
and Reach is like gallivanting, playing golf.
I was probably running the seawall, you know.
Yeah,
it's what it was today.
Yeah,
but you know, you got Randeep doing his job.
Yeah,
you know, he's a great color analyst, an even better person. Right?
Well, that's great. That's debatable.
Great ambassador for bells and whistles. He's a legend in this community. And today he had a bit of a tough moment. We've all been there with the mute button, but he had in a very public setting on Adam Foote's Zoom call today. Here it is.
All right, and we'll take our final questions here from Randeep Janda, Sportsnet 650.
It's been 84 years.
And he's still not even talking.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, God.
Can you hear me now? Longest pause ever. The most awkward moment in the press conference.
The can you hear me now is just perfect.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Unmute yourself.
You know that he asked the whole question and then there was no answer.
Yeah.
And that's when he realized.
I'm on mute.
He's on mute. I felt so bad. I love the guy, but I wouldn't be a friend if I didn't call him out for it. That's how I feel about
it. No, I mean, that's how we are on the station. We just wait for the next person to make a mistake and we pounce on it.
Because I know I'm going to get crushed the next time I make a mistake.
Yeah.
Given I was crushed mercilessly and have been crushed mercilessly for the mistake I made during one of the Canucks games last year.
Yeah, taken behind the dumpster and
I wasn't going to say anything like that, Sad.
It's a good old...
No, don't. Stop.
But
please, no.
Not a great moment.
Shane Malloy is coming up next. We'll get into the draft where the Canucks will potentially be drafting 15th overall. That's next on Canucks Central. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Talking all Canucks all the time. It's Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.